Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. I have some very good news and some very bad news. This coming up next 2 weeks are the Jewish holidays, and I will not have shows. And so, I mean, this is technically not the last show of the season, but close enough. My wonderful co-host Sarah is under the weather again, and I'm very not upset with her or anything else, but I really wish I had a last show with her before the Jewish high holidays. I will be back after the next 2 weeks, which is Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The other piece of good news is tonight my guest is a very special woman to me. I've known her, and I hate to be rude and say ages, I've known her 25 years. I'm getting old. I am getting old. Okay. The lovely and talented Sally J. Walker.
Oh, thank you, Bennett. You're such a sweetheart.
It's okay. I mean, you're an author and a teacher and a novelist and a film historian. And it's like every time I see you, you have another credit, a feather in your cap.
Well, keeping busy keeps me young.
Oh, yeah, I know, but it's like when you get your Nobel Prize, I want to know.
Well, I only have one book up for an award.
Well, I understand that, but it scares me. It's like I'm wondering what shoe comes next, you know? Except for the one that's being tossed at my head.
Well, I was really excited to have Desert Time. It's a Western saga nominated for the Western Heritage Award from the Cowboy Hall of Fame in Oklahoma City. It was nominated by a woman who was this year's documentary award winner. And so I was just thrilled. And so that I won't know for several months. The awards aren't until April. So I'm sure there are others in the category. So I will wait and see, but it was a thrill to be nominated.
I'm not trying to be rude or stupid with this. I forgot what book you put me in the foreword saying I was like one of the seven people that influenced you.
But somebody
about a week or two ago when they knew you were going to be on the show said, oh, she's the one that wrote about you in the foreword, that you're one of the seven people that influenced.
It was nice.
I mean, what do you say? I don't want to sound boastful or cocky, but it's like, that's nice.
Well, it's the title of it is A Writer's Year, and it's kind of a 365 mini essays. The subtitle says Daily Insights, Challenges, and Inspirations for the Devout Writer. And you certainly have done that for me, and so of course I would mention you in the foreword.
But I mean, somebody who doesn't know us said that, oh yeah, you're in there. I'm like, fine. I mean, what do you don't know what to say sometimes.
Yeah. Well, when you say we've known one another for 25 years, that kind of says it all.
I don't mean this rudely. I don't want Lyle to come kill me. But you and I have had a relationship for over 25 years. I don't want him to kill me for that.
Oh no. And he knows so many of the writers that I am involved with, and he's thrilled too. So that's no big. Now, if you were a bagpiping judge and said that, then he would be a little put out.
Well, if they ever gave me the gig, I'd do it.
So, yeah, I've got, so A Writer's Year came out in, well, early this month here in September, and then the next one.
Well, somebody said, messaged me, and you're in the book. I'm like, okay. I mean,
well, yes,
you don't know how to react to that in a way, because it's like, yes, I'm in the book. Yes, I know. Yes, you know. And I'm not trying to be rude, nasty, or mean. You know, somebody gives you an accolade of some sort. Yours was a great accolade. You know, what do? You say, oh, yes, thank you. And
well,
it,
I'm just getting around to sending copies out to the people that I mentioned. Because I'm teaching a college class right now, a screenwriting class kind of has me busy up to my eyeballs. And
I understand. How, okay, you are, what I've heard is you're, and I wasn't there as a witness, so I can't say much about it, but you have students.
Yes.
And how do you teach them screenwriting?
Well, this is a college class. I got recruited as a professor, and so I have students that are using my very first textbook that came out in January of this year, Learn Screenwriting, and there are three parts to the textbook, and so this class is using that first part, the getting started in a screenplay. And so there are 11 weeks in the term, and basically we tackle a chapter every week, and then they are writing pages, keeping up a pace to finish a 100-page screenplay in those 11 weeks.
Okay. Any advice for somebody who is not in your class and that wants to write a screenplay, any advice for you? If I could say it, I'll be good. Any advice you have for these people?
Well, go to Amazon.com and buy the textbook, Learn Screenwriting. Next to that is go online and find screenplays, read as many as you can. You don't have to print them out. There are hundreds that are online. And the difference between a screenplay and a novel is just phenomenal, because the formatting of a screenplay that was invented early in the cinematic industry has 1 minute of a screenplay is, I mean, one page of a screenplay is 1 minute of film on screen. So you learn the pacing of a cinematic story, and you have to find out that so much of what novelists write, that's describing with words that go into a person's mind and they imagine, whereas a screenplay is about the visual images that deliver the story. The other thing is that novelists are kind of, the story is told between the writer and editor, hopefully, and the reader. But in a screenplay, all the writer does is write a blueprint. And then all of those people that you see on those credits that scroll on after a film is presented in the theater, all of those people contribute their expertise to making the film what you see. And all the screenwriter is the creator of the blueprint. And as a matter of fact, in the industry, screenwriters are kind of the bottom of the fish tank. They aren't the important ones. They may start the story. They may outline the story, but the industry looks at the storytellers being the director, the actors, the cinematographer, and all of those other people who create that visual story. So you have to really develop a thick skin and a very small ego to be a screenwriter.
Oh, I've already had one of them. I've had two of my screenplays done over the years, and both of them were, well, they were what they call drive-in movie hits.
Oh.
So, I mean, I had two screenplays that were done, you know, and expected, oh, it's going to be an Academy Award-winning film. No. You don't get that lucky. I wish.
Well, look at the thousands. There are thousands of, in any given year, there are over 20,000 screenplays that are registered with the Writers Guild. And think of all those who aren't. And then how many get made each, how many actually go into production and actually get seen either on the small screen, the television screen, or in the theater? Oh, 200? Although
maybe
that number is climbing because of all the cable channels
and
everything.
I'll take 200 and stay at that one. But what annoys me a lot of times is you have an agent, oh, they're going to give you millions and billions of dollars. No, you know.
Well,
they're
right
gonna
now.
They're going to give you billions of dollars. I'm like, yeah, right, okay. I'm still
right,
waiting on
yeah.
royalties from the first film I did, you know, as a screenwriter was 15, 16 years ago. So I'm still waiting on royalties, right? Even though I did go into a video shop and saw the film I was working on was with a collection of like six others or eight others. So, you know, I knew it was out there again, you know. I think I got a whole
right.
check for cents.
Well, it depends on if you are a writer who has a literary agent, meaning a signatory agent that can get a contract, then you know you're going to get some money. Right now, the guild is all in an uproar and several months ago, all, right across the board, all agents were fired. And so representation went out the window. And projects that were being made had already been contracted. And so I don't know what's going to come of that fiasco. But agents are the ones who get the contracts and assure you that you're going to get money because they want money.
Exactly.
And,
well, I have a question from Derek. And
okay.
He says to us or me or whatever, do you think the trend in superheroes will ever stop?
Oh, no. No.
Okay.
Superheroes are like mythic heroes. They are iconic, and they go on and on because they feed our human desire to have heroes, to have people who are powerful and can defeat the evil entities of the world. They're stronger than normal people. We as normal people really have not a whole lot of control over our world. So, oh, no, no. There will always be superheroes, always, forever.
We're talking movies. We're not talking the comics.
Yeah. Well, oh, yeah, it doesn't make any difference. They, heroes, Rambo. You say Rambo, and so you
I didn't
picture,
say it, but okay, let's go with it.
But you the muscular tough guy, or Die Hard, and you've got Bruce Willis, the hard-nosed, risk-taking cop. All of these heroes, we will always have heroes. So the superheroes who have superpowers, that's part of the just the human psyche that wants to have these larger-than-life people who make the world a safer place. No, that's always going to be with us.
Okay, I'm just... You being a screenwriter, what do you think of animation and computer animation and everything else?
Oh, I love it.
And this is from John. Sorry, I've got to make sure. That's from John's question. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, animation is you can't have, little stick figures. I mean, you have to have just beautiful images. And there are all different levels and kinds of animation. But so much can be done in animation that cannot be done or is super expensive to have done, filmed in reality. The things that James Cameron did with Avatar was just absolutely remarkable.
Well, wasn't that in a way like, and I'm going to use a term that many people don't know, wasn't that in a way like rotoscoping? You had the actors with points.
Yeah.
And it was animated, but it wasn't animated.
But it wasn't animated. Yeah, it was a melding of the two disciplines. And the fundamental was that it was just spectacular storytelling, taking it to this nth degree. But in animation, there is just the sky's the limit. It is just as far as your imagination can take you. The key to me, in my judgment of the storytelling cycle, is it.
Well, because you're the greatest film historian I know, but that's okay. Sorry, guilty plug. You're the greatest film historian I know. Okay.
Oh, yeah, right. Thank you, Bennett. But the thing is that. As storytellers, as animators, as writers, we need to understand what an audience or a readership wants. And it's just like in all of the genres, in this variety, there are 11 different genres. And in all these different genres, we have to understand the readership. When you speak to a readership, you speak to the souls and imaginations of these people, then you're never going to be out of work. You are always going to be carrying these people forward and imagining more and more and more. And it is when you start disappointing them, then you're done. Do something else.
Well,
find another path in life.
Somebody said to me about a week ago when they knew you were a guest, well, you know, all that they have nowadays are, and it comes back to this, superheroes and Star Wars, and they keep redoing the same things over and over and over again rather than try something new. What's your opinion on that?
Well, back late in the 18th century, a Frenchman by the name of Polti analyzed all the Greek stories, all of Shakespeare's stories, and then the writers of his time, and he came up with a list of 36 dramatic situations. Now, anybody who has been involved in storytelling, who has looked at that list, knows there aren't any others. There they are. Those are the 36 dramatic situations. What makes for a fresh story is for a dynamic character to be put in challenging situations to play out that story. So, you know, that's the challenge, and that's the fun that you have. You can't have a cookie-cutter story. There are, certainly with in the romance industry, you will have all of these types of stories. And romance fanatics know this, but that they don't care. What they're reading for is to be introduced to these dynamic characters and see how they meet their love match and how they come together. When you have people who write phenomenal mysteries and they have written 40 mysteries, well, are they all different? Not really. There's a crime and there's a detective who's going to solve that crime. That's why you read the book. But it's the how. How are they doing it? That's the interesting part. That's what entertains our imaginations.
Ooh, I learned something. I always say this. I learn something new every time I talk to you, and it's like, yep, here we are. It's the teacher in you, I know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I can go on. I can go on for hours about it.
If I had 6 hours, I would surely book you. I don't. I only have 30 minutes. I wanted to get your new project so people could start going to Amazon and get them.
Okay. Learn Screenwriting came out in January, and then in July is Learn Genre Film Secrets, and that is about 11 genres in 22 films. And then there's one section that is romantic screenplays in depth. I have A Writer's Year, which is the 365 essays that one essay for each day of the year. And then I have Desert Time, and then there
That's
is
enough,
Letting Go of
Sick.
That's, pardon?
The Desert Times a novel now, right?
Right. And it is over a 400-page novel. Letting Go of Sacred Things is a shorter novel, and that's 10 episodes of a woman's life from 1910 to 1981, and I've adapted part of that into a screenplay. And I just had released a collection of seven stories in meeting people that those stories are third and fourth grade reading level, but they're adult stories. So they're called High-Low, and they are for the adult literacy market, English as second language, special ed classes in high school, that kind of thing. And that's all that I have out right this moment. I have four more.
Let's say it this way. I just got in the chat room. Somebody says, boy, she's a Wonder Woman. I can tell you, she is. She is.
Well,
I just thought,
if somebody would buy
a comment like that, it has to be repeated. Because I agree, she is a Wonder Woman. If nobody else says it other than Lyle and I, you know, it's like at least she knows.
Well,
she
thank
is,
you.
Good.
Thank you. If somebody would buy one of my 33 screenplays, I would be out in the front yard doing a druid dance. So
you
I
heard
still
that.
Have
all the druids out there. No, I'm okay. I'm kidding about that.
Don't go there. Don't go there.
Oh, I won't. But the amazing thing about it is, have you got a new film you want to start doing again, or have you got an idea?
No. I chose 2018 was my year of getting coverage And in the film industry, that's where you have professional readers read and evaluate, and you revise screenplays accordingly. So I spent 2018 doing that. 2019 is my year of book publishing. I got a new publisher, and so I've been kicking out books for them that are on Amazon, and they can be ordered through Barnes & Noble. They're e-books and paperback and hardback. And then 2020, I'm going to split that between doing some children's books and moving some screenplays, getting some screenplays before more people. But I'm not going to do any new ones.
Okay. Hey, I get amazed with whatever you do, sweetheart. You're good. You're one of the best.
Well, thank you.
Well, I know that. I've known this for, and I'm going to say it, Lyle hit me later, 25 years. I've known this woman. That's God. Every time I see her, it's like in facets of a diamond. You keep seeing another facet on it, and it shines brighter than the other one. And then the other one, you know, it just, it's amazing. As I said, you're a teacher and a novelist and a film historian, and you just, dare I say it, you amaze me. You really do, because you are more than just an author. You're more than just a novelist. You're more than just a teacher. You're a film historian. This is her name. Her name is Blossom. She asked, do you have a favorite movie screenplay you like?
That I've written?
No, anything that you like. I mean, what's your favorite?
Oh, gosh, probably the last one that I wrote. I have a screenplay called Honor and Consequences that a young actor who is really coming up has desperately wanted to do it, and I haven't found anybody interested in financing and producing yet. And it actually could be filmed in a town here in Nebraska. And I did get a technical advisor in the Marine Corps who wanted to come on board. So I have people lined up. I just don't have anybody lined up
to Gene, not now, but you need to talk to Gene Spacusa, and the two of you together would, it'd be scary. If two of you together, it'd be wonderful and marvelous. Okay, this is from Brent, and not me, thank you. Brent wants to know, do you have a favorite film that's not yours?
I would say that my very favorite film is probably Avatar. And the reason that it's my favorite is not because James Cameron did it, but because it includes so many different elements from so many disciplines. And the characters are rich and evocative and meaningful. And I am not a fan of horror movies. They're cheap and easy to make, but having worked in nursing and emergency rooms for 33 years, gore and screaming and pain and terror just doesn't entertain
me. We have about 30 seconds left. Mrs. Blog Talk's going fast on me here. I wanted to thank you, dear, for coming on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't looked at her and with it, her body of work, Sally J. Walker is one of the persons you should really do. I will not be here for 2 weeks. It is the Jewish High Holy Days. I'll be off. I will be back after that, and we've got some lineup of some guests that are going to surprise you. Good night. Fly right, be well, And I will see you in 2 weeks.
Thank
okay.
you, Bennett.
You're welcome, dear. Have a good night.
Good night.
And I'll get with you after this.
Okay.